I know outside is cold, right? But let's try it again. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
That is better. That is better. It is so good to be here, and I thank God for the opportunity to share with his people today. Thank Pastor Joel and the leadership here for allowing me this opportunity as well to share. And I want to say thank you for being part of my support team. There are many ways that God link hearts together, and our hearts have been linked in many ways. And God is doing good things, new things, deep things, and intimate things in all our hearts and lives. And as I was asked to share this morning, I spent time praying, saying, God, what would you have me to share with your people today? And what God gave me was the question that he asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? And I am sure that as we go through this, and I am hoping and praying and believing that something in what God has given to me will make an impact in your lives. Each time I share, something happens in my own heart as well. It starts with me first, and I'm trusting that as I share what God has given to me today, that something will impact you as well. So I want to start this morning by reading from the scripture. In Exodus chapter 3, this is going to be a bit to read because I'm going to start at verse 10 and I'm going to end in chapter 4, verse 2. Now, if I were to give this topic as well a subtitle, I would say the one who said I can't. And I don't know how many of us in here have said or is still saying I can't. Moses said that. And I'm trusting that at the end of our time together, this would not be a part of our vocabulary anymore, I can't. Amen. Thanks for the amen. Now, I have quite a few scriptures, but I'm not going to read all. So I'm trusting that you also will take some notes, and you can look at this scripture after as well. So we begin here in Exodus chapter 3 from verse 10. But I want to say first, let's just say, God, you're invited. Thank you that you're already here. But we invite your presence to remain with us, Lord God. These words are not mine, they're yours, Father God. And I pray, Lord God, that they will fall on good soil because there's good soil in this room. So, Father, may your words, Lord God, penetrate hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord your God, your father, the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites to the land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come and the elders of Israel to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her home, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. Then Moses said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. The question, what is that in your hand? Friends, God is never limited or terrified by our lack or our lack of needfulness. He says to us, what we have right now is exactly enough. It is what he needs to work in and through us. He's not terrified. We tend to look at the world's standards, some of us, and compare ourselves. Am I right or am I right? Amen. All right. The world thrives, friends, on showmanship, achievements, and credentials. They are wowed by talents and fame and eloquence. But God does not work that way. Remember in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, it says, for the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. We can show off all we want in front of everybody, but God sees exactly what is in our hearts. Amen. We cannot fool him. We cannot hide anything from him. He sees and he knows it all. We can fool the world, but we can't fool him. God asked Moses a simple question. What is in your hand? And this text revolves around the call of Moses to be the deliverer of Israel. Moses didn't understand that he was being prepared for something. He didn't understand the question that was being asked and why it was being asked. And there are times when God asks us questions, and we don't take the time to ponder. We don't take the time to find out why these questions are being asked. Many times God will ask us a question and it is for our own good. But we find all the reasons not to answer correctly. I will not run ahead of myself. Moses at this time, when this question was asked, he was 80 years old. He was a fugitive from Egypt. And we can see that in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. He was a fugitive. He lived with his father-in-law, Jethro, and he tended his sheep. That we can see in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Looking at Moses, he does not appear to be a likely choice for the ministry God had in mind. And sometimes we look at people or we look at ourselves and we think the same thing. When God asks us a question, he knows exactly why he's asking us these questions. When that call of God came, Moses gave every excuse he could think of to get out of what the Lord had for him to do. Some of us do the same thing. Don't look at me with those kind of looks. I know, because I've been there too. He said in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, that one, I will read it for us. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. Now I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. I'm going on. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that no one was around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me like you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely this matter has become known." When Pharaoh heard this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. He said he was not worthy. These are some of the excuses that Moses gave. He said in Exodus chapter 3 verse 13 to 14, he does not know God's name. He said the people would not believe me, and we read that through the scripture just a while ago. He also said he was not good with words. And the last thing he said, send another person. And that is in Exodus chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. After all these excuses, friends, that Moses made, he went on to do what God had told him in Exodus chapter 4, verse 18 to 31. As we look a little bit deeper into the question that God asked him, I believe today, friends, that this question has importance for our lives right now. The question was very simple. What do you have in your hand? Moses answered, a rod. All he had in his hand that day was a simple shepherd's staff. And I see my friend here with a stick. The only thing about his stick is that it doesn't have the curve on the top. We know what a shepherd's staff looked like. to Moses, all he had in his hand was a dry stick, and that was all that he saw. But God was seeing more than that. As we look closely at what Moses had in his hand, let us look at our own lives to see the things we also carry in our hands. I want us, friends, as we look, just as God used what was in Moses' hand for his glory, he desires to use the things we carry in our hands as well for his glory. What are we carrying in our hands? What are you carrying in your hands? I had to answer this question some years ago when I think I was not adequate for what God was requiring or desiring of me. And I hope you guys are thinking as well. What is in your hands? Let us notice together three things that Moses held in his hand. One, Moses held his personality in his hand. Think about it. When Moses said a rod, he was referring to his shepherd's staff. This was a stick of about 6 feet long and was used in a variety of ways. It was used to guide, to lead, and protect the sheep. Moses used this to support himself as he climbed up and down steep inclines, up and down mountains, and in places as he looked for his sheep. It was used to defend the flock against the attacks of wild animals and others who would threaten them. Moses depended on this rod every day of his life. What are you depending on? Or who are you depending on? This particular rod, friends, identified Moses as a shepherd. When people saw this rod in Moses' hand, they would immediately know who he was. What are we being identified by in our lives? Just questions. The rod also represented all that Moses possessed. He did not own the sheep that he tended. They belonged to his father-in-law, Jethro. All Moses possessed was the rod. It represented his life, his identity, and his livelihood. What is identifying us today? Note, I'm not saying you, I'm saying us, right? Because I'm included. The rod was a constant reminder that he never reached his fullest potential in the Lord. 40 years earlier, God had moved on his heart to deliver Israel from Egypt. Exodus 2, 11 to 14. Back then, Moses ran ahead of God and took matters into his own hands. Because he did, he felt like he had wasted his only opportunity to serve the Lord. Moses had come to believe that he was not worthy of being more than a shepherd. What are we thinking about ourselves? The stick told Moses, "You're nothing more than a shepherd keeping another man's flock." What is the lie are we believing from the enemy? Like Moses, we also hold some things in our hands today. Some of those things are good things. Others are evil. And I have a short list of some of the things that we hold in our hands. We hold the past. There are things that would have happened in the past, things we would have done, things that was done to us, and we have not let go of these things. And these things, friends, are a hindrance to us moving forward and accomplishing what God has intended for our lives. A lot of the times, we hold on. I'm not saying that we can't look back, but we shouldn't be stuck there. There are times when we look back and it should propel us to move forward. But we look back and we are stuck. We're not able to let go. Something else we're holding on to, pet sins. I don't think I need to elaborate on that. But a lot of us at times hold on to pet sins. And these are some hindrances to moving forward and fulfilling purpose, walking out purpose and destiny in our lives. We hold on to unforgiveness. Might not get a large or huge amen for that one, but we hold on to unforgiveness. And this is an area that hinders our walk with the Lord. Feelings of inadequacy. I can't. I am not capable of. Who am I? Look at me. Look where it came from. Moses had all of these excuses. But when God asks a question, he knows exactly why. We're holding on to negativity. We are so negative at times about things, we can't move forward. Talents. Boy, I'm so talented. I am so talented. And we're so talented that God can use us. These talents, friends, surrender to the Lord, can do great things. Natural abilities is another thing. You're so good at stuff. No matter what it is, you can do it. But this also can be a hindrance to fulfilling our purpose and destiny. And the big one, accomplishments. I have accomplished so much in my life, I don't need God. And I'm not saying it just because I heard that coming out of the mouth of some person. Look what I've accomplished. Who else in the Bible said that? There's a person in the Bible. Yes, I see the whispers. He thought that he could do everything and he didn't need God. And where did he end up? Just food for thought. All these things, my friends, whether they are good or bad, identify us and control us. We come to depend on these things that we hold in our hands. And we may even think that we can't live without them. They become an integral part of our lives. Like Moses leaned on his staff, we lean on the things that we hold in our hands. We hold on to these things and allow them to define us, to define our personality and control our spiritual destiny. We look at some of the things we hold in our hands and believe that those things are all we will ever be. Moses thought that he could have only been a shepherd. God wants to teach us that we can rise above the things we hold in our hands. We don't have to allow them to hold us. We don't have to allow them to define us. Number two, Moses held his problem in his hands. When he heard the Lord's question, it must have stabbed his heart, friends. He must have remembered a time when his hands held a scepter instead of a rod. Surely his mind went back to the days in the palace in Egypt when he was being trained and educated to be a pharaoh. He had all that training. He was being prepared. He may have remembered a time when everything was right there at his disposal. Now, according to him, all he had was a dry, dead stick. Somebody talked about a dead stick this morning. God knew what Moses had in his hand. He was not asking Moses for information. He was asking for instruction. He was asking Moses to carefully consider the thing he held in his hand. What is God asking you today to carefully consider? I'm just asking questions. When I looked through the Bible, I saw Jesus asked 365 questions, and he only answered three. So I am just asking questions so that we can think what it is he's carefully asking us to consider. In Moses' life, the thing he held also held him. What is holding us today? The rod that Moses carried identified him, and it also represented all the problems in his life. And I hope that what we are holding is not doing that to us. It reminded him that he used to be a prince. It reminded him he was just a servant. That he was poor and owned nothing. It reminded him that his life was filled with vast potential at one time. But now he was merely, as we say in the Caribbean, a has-been. A washed-up nobody in the backside of the desert. These are things that this rod reminded Moses of. All the things mentioned before have the ability to define us. Our past sins, our past hurts, negative feelings about others. All these things impact who we are and how we relate to those around us. They even determine how we serve the Lord. Am I speaking truth or am I speaking truth? Just checking. You guys are quiet on me. But I want to say, friends, if we allow the negative aspects of our lives to control us, then we stand in the way of the Lord and all of his will being accomplished in our lives. We cannot allow negative things or things that we consider that tell us we're not worthy to hold us back. Even the positive aspects of our lives, like our talents and abilities, become liabilities when we depend on them instead of the Lord. We are to be surrendered to the Lord, friends, and not be controlled by the things or by people. Ephesians chapter 5. Now let's look at Galatians 2 and verse 20. What does that say? I have it here somewhere. Okay. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. When we are surrendered to the Lord, we live a different life. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says something to us there as well. Be not conformed. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Our lives must be a worship to God. Whatever we do should be a worship to God. But we think worship is only when we come into the sanctuary. But we are a worship unto God. What we have in our hands? That's the question. What do you have in your hand? What are you clinging onto right now? Is there some attitude, some activity, some action that defines your life? What is it? The only thing, friends, that should identify the child of God is Christ's likeness. Philippians 1, verse 21. That's the only thing that should identify us as a child of God. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Who are you living for? What are you living for? Whatever it is, it reveals your personality. Whatever it is, it controls your life. Some people, friends, are hindered because they think they are the best at what they do. They're filled with pride over their abilities and their accomplishments. They don't even recognize the fact that their achievements can become liabilities in their lives. Moses held his potential in his hand, and that is number three. When Moses objected to God's call on his life, God used a series of miracles to teach him that he, God, will go with him into Egypt and that he will work through him. What it is that God has to do when he asks us to do things? Somebody talked about being obedient. How obedient are we? Are we readily obedient? Because remember, friends, delayed obedience is disobedience. God had to do a series of things. Turn the stick that Moses had in his hand into a snake. He said, push your hand in your bosom. It became leprous. Push it back in. It came back out clean. He turned water to blood. All these miracles were designed to comfort Moses and teach Israel that Moses was indeed sent from the Lord. But to Moses, that rod was nothing but a tool, a weapon, a necessary part of his life in his hand. When that stick was given over to the Lord, it became a living thing. It became a thing of power that God used to defeat Israel's enemy and to glorify himself. God took that insignificant stick and worked wonders with it. He wants to do the same for us today. That stick was used to confront the Egyptian soothsayers in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 12. It was used to bring forth the plague of frogs, the plague of lice, Exodus 8, 5 and 16. That stick was used, as we heard somebody say, to part the Red Sea. Moses forgot all these things that this stick in his hand was used for. It parted the Red Sea and allowed the children of Israel to cross over on dry ground. And it was also used to bring the sea back together again, causing Pharaoh and his armies to drown. It was used as a refreshing. It brought water from the rock. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 5. And it was also used to bring victory over the Amalekites in chapter 17 verse 9. God knows exactly what we have and the purpose for why we have them. But we don't seek him for these things. We depend on our own strength a lot of times. Moses was commanded to take up that snake when the stick was turned into the snake by its tail. And people who work with snakes or know anything about snakes, they would tell you to do that, it was a recipe for disaster. Nobody takes up a snake by its tail. You need to grab a snake behind its head. Moses took up the snake by its tail to teach him to trust God. When Moses obeyed, the serpent became a dead stick once more. But I guarantee you that Moses never looked at that stick the same way again. How are we looking at the things in our hand? God took that weak, powerless, dead, dry stick and used it in mighty ways, simply because Moses yielded it to him. Had it remained in Moses' hand, it would have held no power for God, but it would have held all the power over Moses' life. Because he yielded to the Lord, he was freed from its power over him. And he was free to use its power for the glory of God. This morning, friends, I do not know what you are holding in your hand. But what I do know, if what you hold in your hand is not yielded to God, it will be a hindrance in your lives. It will hold you back from being everything you could be for God's glory. Not only will it hold you back, but it will also affect everyone around you. Your family, your church, and everything you touch, and everything that touches you. Think about it. The sin we refuse to abandon to the grace of God is a dead stick in our hands. But when we give these things to God in confession and repentance, they become opportunities for him to display his grace, his forgiveness, and his restoration. He wants to do that for us. The bitterness we carry over some past wrongs you feel you have suffered is a dead stick in your hand. But when you bring these things to the Lord, he's able to deliver us from the bondage we carry and restore us to a place of blessing. The sorrow we have allowed to shape our life and steal our joy is a dead stick in our hands. Bring them to God and he will teach us. Friends, he has purpose even in our pain. and he will teach us the truth. In Romans 8:28, we can see that. The ability today that you have, that you are so proud of, can be a dry, dead stick in your hand. But when it is surrendered to God, it becomes a channel of blessing whereby he's able to use your life and my life in greater ways. Those accomplishments in your past that we continually look to are dry, dead sticks in our hands. But when we yield them to the Lord, he will enable us to see that he has even greater things for our future. I want to say to us today, friends, life is either about a dead stick or a powerful Savior. Which one will we choose? Which is true of your life and mine will be determined by how much we are willing to place in God's hands. If we bring what we hold in our hands and cast them down before him, let him take that liability and turn these things into assets for his glory. I can say to us that there are people waiting. There are nations waiting. This community is waiting. What do you have in your hand? Can God use it for his glory? Can God use you, your life, for his glory? When Moses surrendered that stick to the Lord, mighty things happened. And I am saying to us today, when we surrender what is in our hands, God will do great and mighty exploits in and through our lives. The choice is ours. Are we willing to surrender what is in our hands? Just a question. Father, today we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for your truth. And Lord, we pray that as many heard, we will choose. We will make the right all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.